Good morning. He steps up to preach. What is the biggest gift you or anyone could give? Time and money might be clues, but they're not it. Biggest gift you or anyone could give. I suggest it's yourself. You. Me. The package. Ourself. And then while we're thinking, what might be worthy of that? What might be worthy of our self-giving? Even to the point of sacrifice. Last century, thousands upon thousands of men gave themselves for their country as they were called for in time of war. And we remember them. They gave themselves. They gave all. They're memorialized all around Dunedin in arches and statues and monuments. In Christmas, we celebrate God giving himself, or God's self. It's very hard to wrap our minds around, but that's the basic story we're singing. That's what we're celebrating. The biggest anything that you can give is yourself. After that, what is there? You're spent. You're done. And Christmas is the story of God giving himself. And we've sung the story. You know the outline of the story. God gave himself by being born of a woman as a Jewish boy child in the first century of what we call now Palestine. God arranged this, and we heard even in the story, as Joseph was told what to name the boy. Yeshua, Joshua, Jesus, which means he shall save. And it wasn't about his piggy bank. It was about he shall save his people. He'll be a savior figure. So the plot of Christmas. God gives himself for humanity by joining humanity. But understand the cost, understand the price. Once you've given yourself, that's a big, big thing to do. What might we compare this to? I've got two examples. One's from history and the other's from ecology today. In 1732, so while before Captain Cook was bobbing off the North Island there, two men belonging to the Moravian movement, now that was a movement of Christians somewhere parked somewhere in today in Eastern Germany, associated with a man called Count Zinzendorf. So that's all footnotes. But here's the key thing. They had a heart for evangelism and mission. And the group of people they wanted to reach were the Caribbean slaves. So people who either themselves or their ancestors had been carted out of Africa, plonked on islands in the Caribbean, told to work until they dropped. And these two Christians in Europe had a heart to go and reach them. Do you know the story? And so what they decided to do was to sell themselves as slaves so that they could be with the people they wanted to reach. Now, this upset a lot of people because the whole politics and economics of slavery involved racism. You can't have white slaves. You can't have white slave masters beating white slaves. And so they were foiled. They were stopped. In the end, they went there and were on the island, very successful, led the first wave of evangelism among Black African slaves in the Americas. But he had a heart to reach the slaves. They offered themselves to be sold in a slave market as slaves. They were giving themselves to be with the people they loved. Now, another comparison. Oh, yes, next slide, please. Do you know the bees around the world are struggling? Our bees in New Zealand have a struggle, but it's not too bad. But in other parts of the world, the bee is in trouble. And if the bee is in trouble, we're all in trouble. Seriously. So imagine this. Just looking at you in the front row here. The bee is in trouble. This is your mission. Go and become a bee. I want you to go and join the bees and help them. Now just think that through. What would that involve? What would you lose? What would you have to give up? What would you have to change? What would you have to let go of? And it's a one-way trip. You become a bee. That's the sort of mystery, the sort of wonder that we're looking at in Christmas. So to drill down into this, we're talking about God becoming human. What do we mean by God? The creator and the sustainer of all that is. The source of all being. Sit there this afternoon after you've got a full stomach and think, being, existence. It has a source. The spring of life. The first and the last. The Lord of all space and time. Or my favorite, the ground of our being. We're talking about God. It's all very philosophical and descriptive, but it's good to be clear. We're talking about God becoming human, like us becoming a bee, or selling ourselves to become slaves. Why? Why would God choose to do that, to give himself to humanity? Given that we know what humanity's about, don't we? We're a sad bunch. We have moments of brightness and creativity, but oh, we have this capacity to stuff everything up. Why would God choose to do that? What is God's wisdom in that? Because it is a very different wisdom. We live in a world where you invest in things that grow. You invest in companies that have profitable futures. You invest in things that are going somewhere. Why invest in humanity, given how we are? Any ideas? It's the question that Christmas begs. My best answer is love. Extravagant, passionate, deep, wild, out of this world, slightly crazy, love. Who's not been in love? Now Christmas starts to zing, doesn't it? A loving God, making a choice, a decision, a commitment that blows us away. So let's get a bit even deeper into this. Most of us white people, white-skinned people, that is, we're individualists. We think of ourselves, me, myself, and I. Not about being selfish so much, but it's the way we just see more of us than our community or our family or our nation. Our laws work that way, and it's the same for mothers and daughters and fathers and sons. In the Bible world, and for our Maori and Polynesian people as well, no, life is more about the generations. We're part of a flow of life. It goes through the generations. All Jewish people saw themselves as present in Abraham. And Abraham was present in them. It's a connection. It's the way life works. It's more than DNA. It flows through the generation, so father and son or mother and daughter are alike. And in some people's mind, the same. If you've met the father, you'll recognize the son. If you've met the son, you'll know the father. That's where that comes from. It's a bit hard for us whiteys who think just in boxes, me, myself. The past and future of the father is in the son. So if the father gives the son, he gives himself. The past and the future of the father is in the son. There's a beautiful Maori proverb, which I can't say in Te Reo, but I love its sense. If you want to see your ancestors, look at your children. Isn't that sweet? If you want to see your ancestors, look at your children. So the father gives himself. Now make it one personal, bit personal here. Next slide, please. This is our boy, Nat, on his wedding day. Now I'm his dad. He is the expression of my life. It happens to be we're the same height, the same size shoes, can squabble over the same clothes. First dressed is best dressed. If I were to give him away, I'd be giving myself my past, my future. We are generations of the same life. Now, next screen, please. All this patriarchal talk, if you're a bit sort of, you know, ideologically sensitive, it may be politically incorrect, but let's not miss the point. What's the point? John's gospel says it this way. God so loved the world, and you can finish it with me, that he gave his son, his only son. Well done. Born of Mary as a Jewish boy child in the first century of Palestine. This giving was for us, humanity. This is the essential Christmas story. So in giving himself to us like this, God forever, forever linked himself to humanity. It's like he embedded himself. I love these people so much that I'm going to dive in and forever be part of them. He created a shared bloodline, a common whakapapa, the possibility of a common life, intimacy as unimagined. Now you know why I said crazy love. This is the Christmas story. The life of God lived in and among humans. Intimacy between God and humanity through Jesus, the Son he gave. That's how deep God wants to take the reconciliation of God and humanity. You know, sometimes it's been reduced to your slate is clean and you get to go to heaven. You get a bus ticket. I'm putting it in really basic terms. That falls so far short of the passion and the investment, the self-giving. So that is the gospel of Christmas and the mystery of the incarnation, God giving himself to humanity in human form, God restoring his image bearers by investing himself, pouring himself in to be one of them. And as John says so well, and the word became flesh and lived among us. I loved Peterson's translation. He moved into the neighborhood. Just became part of the social fabric, part of the buzz, part of what's going on, to be one of us and with us. So that's the good news. Now let's get a bit cheeky here. Well, Francis, that's pretty interesting. That's good stuff. What does it mean in practical terms? You know, we're practical people. Let's get down to it. What difference does it make? Let me do it this way. This is a crib. It's not an eyesight test, but believe me, there's a full nativity scene here. Should be keen on this because it was the idea of one St. Francis of Assisi to do this. Yeah. Next screen. Question is, he's arrived. Where do you put him? Where do you put him? See, I reckon quite a few of us got gifts in the last 12 hours. Not afterwards. Okay, good. I understand. We got... So when you get to your gift today, you will open your gift. The way you open your gift is part of a drama. It's part of the fun. You unwrap it and there's excitement and there's joy. And if that gift comes with, you know, if it reaches you, you embrace it. You take it. And you take it to heart and you take the love that comes with it to heart, and you place that gift somewhere special. If you don't, it's trash by Boxing Day, and next week it's on Trade Me. Life can be grim. But a gift that you receive, you treasure, you embrace, you take to heart, you put somewhere special in your life. So how do we do that with Jesus? How do we do that? Well, here's my response. First of all, you understand this is a significant relationship. This is big. God, this is big for God. Make it big for you. Give him your attention. Give him your attention. You've got friends that you write to once a year. Christmas, New Year, all that stuff. We're doing that. How big was our mailing list yesterday? 60 email addresses. Okay. They're not all bosom buddies, best friends. Some of them are. Every year we just stay in touch. That's not a significant relationship. Note what he's saying. Listen to his words. Where do we find his words? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Some of us have Bibles where they are in red text. Love him as he wants to be loved. As a child, I always got underwear for my birthday. I'm still in recovery. No. My mother loved me, but I didn't want underwear for my birthday. There's a sort of a mismatch there. I'm an adult now. I get it. I understand what was happening. But our relationships can be a bit like that too. And it can be like that with Jesus. Give him what he asks for. Find out what's on his heart. Simple. I got three things here that represent ways we don't do this. So the first thing is, instead of unwrapping and cherishing God's gift in Jesus, we get religious. Oh, people, we are so capable of being religious. Instead of unwrapping it, and what we do is we wrap them up again. There we go. We wrap them up in doctrines and concepts as if Jesus is something to be talked about instead of a person to be known and loved. When he's wrapped up, we can do that. God's giving of his self gets wrapped, stuck in our mind and wrapped up like a piece of equipment a belief system. Jesus in among us is God we can talk to, not park somewhere, keep safe. So that's one thing. Instead of unwrapping him, we wrap him up some more. Where was that gift God gave me? Oh, yes, yes. Got it wrapped up over there. And then secondly, we can focus on Jesus more for what he does than who he is. What he does is important, but who is he? What does he represent and is God's love to us? A typical drift in this is that he was born solely to die. In truth, God gave himself to us well before Jesus took up the cross. In our rush to Good Friday, don't overlook Christmas. It's so big. He was not born just to die. He was born among us as God's gift to us. Here he is. Here's my boy. Here's me. Here's my life, my past, my future. And eventually, the story goes, we rejected that gift. We collectively nailed it to a cross and said, yeah, nah. Don't need it. Stuff your gift. That's Good Friday. And God raised him from death in the resurrection. And we learned that God's yes to us is bigger than our no. But don't overlook Christmas in the rush to Good Friday. And then thirdly, we lose the plot. And when I say we, it's not just church people, it's the whole culture. And our response to Christmas gets bigger than Christmas. It goes crazy, doesn't it? The gift is rewrapped so thickly in tradition and business and even in worship that Jesus is forgotten. He's buried. What a cunning plan. Even while we supposedly celebrate his birth. That's so obvious around us. Those are just three things that sort of derail us from that wonder of the self-giving God who gives himself to us in a love that's beyond imagining. So, coming into land, how do we receive and hold God's gift of himself to us in Jesus? How can we do that? I found this graphic. I thought that was intriguing. One of the things I do the night before I preach is I Google search for images. It can be scary, I tell you, whatever word you put into search, but this one came up. Make him the center. One of the songs we sing occasionally is Jesus Be the Center. It came out of a revival in Belfast, Northern Ireland. Make him the center. Or as the Americans say, keep the main thing the main thing. If God's given himself, as that's the biggest thing God can give, then it should be central. He should be central. Secondly, live for, with, and around Jesus. Seek to live as Jesus would live where you are. Meet him in the Gospels as a person. Meet him as a living person, someone to listen to, someone to call to. It's relational. Let him show us what it is to be human as a child of God. Jesus got humanity to the max. Want to know what it is to be really human? Look to Jesus. See him as a brother. Allow him to lead us into God's family. Those are just some tips. Main thing is make him the center. The funny thing about the way life is organized on planet Earth, and we humans are part of that, our eyes, especially for us, are at the front of our heads. And where we point them is really, really important. Where we choose to look determines so much of what lives in our mind and how we live. That's why, for example, why pornography is so destructive. Captures people, because men especially, where they look. But equally, if you feast on beauty, it does something to you. We look at Jesus. He captures our imagination. He feeds our spirit. He gets in. Make him the center. So, I've marveled at God's crazy love at Christmas. Love that we can't understand. His self-giving. And I've suggested that the right response, the best response, is simply to take that gift to heart. Give it prime place in our lives.